It is nice to see all of you this morning. I wonder if you ever had an experience when you felt dumbfounded. It happened to me one time when I knew the English playwright William Shakespeare, and I knew King Lear because I had read the story. But I didn't realize that Shakespeare wrote King Lear. I had read the book when I was in elementary school. I knew the basic plot of King Lear, but it was until later in my adulthood when I figured out the connection between Shakespeare and King Lear. Sometimes a famous movie is made by a renowned director, and I didn't know the correlation. And there are times when I know two different people, A and B, and I find out later that the two are a married couple or related to each other. I am surprised when I encounter and experience these amazing correlations. In today's passage, I knew that within the broad framework of John chapter 3, there were the information about being born again and the existence of the well-known Bible verse, John 3:16. I had thought that they had existed as separate contents, but I was surprised to see the connection. I knew that Jesus was teaching Nicodemus about being born again in John chapter 3. Above all, I was well aware of John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, because I have sung it as a song during my childhood. But I hadn't put much meaning to the two different pericopes, one being the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, and the other being John 3, 16 to 17, that they were connected. As I was preparing for this sermon, God allowed me to understand that the true teaching of Jesus is fulfilled when the two pericopes are connected. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy Triune God, all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be belongs to you alone. You have spoken to us through your word made flesh. Now guide us into the truth by the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that we may glorify you forever and ever. Amen. Before today's text in John 2:13, Jesus went up to Jerusalem because Passover was near. And when he was there, he showed signs to many people. On that night, Nicodemus, a Jewish leader and a Pharisee mentioned in the text, came to Jesus. Nicodemus confessed that when he saw the signs, he knew that Jesus was the teacher who has come from God and that God was with him. Rather than being drawn to Jesus because he was the Messiah, many people, including Nicodemus, believed that he had come from God and followed him, seeing the signs that Jesus had shown to them. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to be born again by the Holy Spirit, going beyond believing things that we see through our human eyes. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Even though Pharisees believed in the resurrection and the spiritual existence of angels, they did not accept Jesus' words as spiritual rebirth, but simply understood it as physical rebirth. When Nicodemus saw the many signs performed by Jesus, he may have simply understood Jesus' words about being born again as another sign of being physically born again. Reformation theologian John Calvin says of Pharisees that they boasted of being the only expounders of the law, as if they were in possession of the marrow and hidden meaning of the scripture. Nevertheless, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, could not understand the true meaning of Jesus' words. We can learn that Nicodemus was superficially following Jesus because of the signs. When we take a look at the time he came to visit Jesus, he came to Jesus at night because of his fear of the Jews. Even in John chapter 19, verses 38 to 39, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He was a teacher of Israel, a leader of the Jews, and a Pharisee. He could not give up his position and face the Jewish resistance, so he did not have the faith to follow Jesus. Nevertheless, Jesus did not rebuke Nicodemus or criticize those who superficially followed Jesus because of the signs. We can learn from the story of Nicodemus that the faith of only believing what you see is different from being born again of the Spirit. If the signs that Nicodemus saw, and so he believed, could be considered as being born again, then Jesus would not have told Nicodemus about being born again. But as we can see in chapter 3, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus what it truly means to be born again of the Spirit. Among well-known stories, there is a tragedy illustrating people who sought only the outward appearance of wealth and power and confessed their superficial love. And about a person who believed the fake words of love to be genuine. This tragedy is Shakespeare's King Lear. In Shakespeare's King Lear, the king had three daughters, Goneril, Regan, and Cordelia. King Lear, who was over 80 years old, asked for professions of love from his three daughters to determine how to divide the lands of his kingdom between them. To obtain wealth from their father, the two eldest daughters, Goneril and Regan, flatter King Lear with deceitful, lavish speeches, professing their love to please him. However, King Lear's youngest daughter, Cordelia, seeing right through her sister's feigned professions of love, refuses to flatter King Lear like her sisters. She answers by saying, "Love and be silent." When King Lear deems her answer as too simple and asks her what she can say more, she is adamant and says that she has nothing to say and refuses to flatter him. Unlike her father and sisters, Cordelia can differentiate love from poverty. And feeling outraged and humiliated that Cordelia will not publicly lavish love on him, King Lear banishes her from the kingdom. And he relinquishes his power and land to Goneril and Regan. However, after a while, King Lear is betrayed and abandoned by them, who once verbally confessed that they love him, and Lear wanders through the storm. Cordelia's sisters, Goneril and Regan, profess their love to King Lear to receive power and wealth. And in response to this confession, King Lear simply trusted them and divided the lands of his kingdom between them. However, Shakespeare's tragedy, King Lear, tells us that this superficial love and superficial faith can fall into despair. So Jesus wants Nicodemus and his followers to go beyond following him after seeing his signs. Jesus encourages them to be born again by the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, Jesus tells Nicodemus not to be surprised about being born spiritually. And Jesus tells him a condensed parable in John 3:8 about what it means to be born of the Holy Spirit. He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nowadays, we can find out the wind direction through meteorological observations and various methods. But this was a very appropriate analogy for Nicodemus at that time. Yet, it is a parable that is relevant to us today. We know where the wind blows. We can listen to its sound, and we know by the feeling of our skin that the wind has blown to our face. But we do not know where that wind is coming from and where it is going. Nevertheless, we know that there is wind. Jesus says that people who are born again are like this. Some people have been born of the Spirit, and there is one thing we have to pick up on here. What does Jesus mean by born of the Spirit? Is a person born of the Spirit a person who can see visions? Is a person born of the Spirit someone who can prophesy? Or is it someone who can pray in many tongues? There was a time in my life when I thought that those who are born of the Holy Spirit should at least be able to pray in many tongues. The church that I attended in Korea emphasized that we needed to pray to receive the spiritual gift of praying in many tongues. Now, please don't get me wrong. Not all Korean churches are like that. Anyway, at the church retreat, I remember earnestly praying so that I could pray in tongues. On the retreat that runs for 2 nights and 3 days, after every supper, the evening worship service was held, and prayer meetings were held from 8 p.m. until midnight. Nobody's surprised. Well, as we were praying, I heard my friend suddenly praying in tongues. Even though it was amazing to witness her receive the spiritual gift, I was envious of my friend. So I prayed to God to allow me to pray in tongues too. Unfortunately, I have never experienced prayer in tongues in my life. When I shared this story with my husband, Yong, he comforted me with the scripture from 1 Corinthians 14:4. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now, those who prophesy mentioned here is not those who tell what will happen in the future, but it is those who give Holy Spirit-inspired preaching. I was comforted by this Bible verse, but to be honest, I still envy people who pray in many tongues. A person born of the Holy Spirit represents a person who has faith in Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Earlier, Jesus was speaking about a person born of the Spirit. And now, Jesus is talking about a person who believes in him. Contextually speaking, it could make more sense for Jesus to say, "Whoever born of the Spirit shall not perish." However, instead of saying, "whoever born of the Spirit," Jesus says, "whoever believes in him shall not perish." In that sense, those who are born of the Spirit can be interpreted as those who believe in Jesus. To be born again by the Holy Spirit is to become a believer in Jesus. Jesus came to this world and performed many miracles for people. Jesus did not try to convince us by showing us these miracles, but it was one of his many ways of expressing his compassion and love for us. So Jesus fed the multitudes and healed the sick. Many people, including Nicodemus, were following Jesus not by taking Jesus' words of truth to heart. At a superficial level, they were following Jesus by seeing the miracles performed by him. And Jesus had mercy on these people. In his conversation in today's passage, Jesus wanted Nicodemus to be born again by the Holy Spirit and become a true believer and follower of Christ. Now, I don't know how to be born again of the Holy Spirit. The reason why I can say this confidently is because the work of the Holy Spirit is through God's grace. It is not something that gets accomplished from our effort or will, but it is shaped by the providence of God's grace and love. Neither the little faith in us nor the great faith in us are born by our efforts nor will. But we know that we have faith because the Lord has given it to us. The faith given to us cannot be abandoned. That is something we cannot control because God has given it to us. Even the fact that we are worshiping together at this time and singing praises to the Lord are all through God's divine guidance. So we should be grateful. We love our Lord because He loved us first. And His love for us is so great that He gave His one and only Son. If we believe in Jesus, the only begotten Son, we are freed from our sins and saved. And above all, the reason why Jesus came to this world was not to condemn us, but to save us. So we should give thanks to the Lord. Beloved, we are holding on to our faith through the grace of our Lord. Even this day, I want us to be reminded to thank our Lord for His grace every day. Today, I pray that we are led by the Lord, the love of our Lord, and express our love to our neighbors. Even if our faith may seem little, let's be thankful that our Lord has given us that faith, for His love has already been testified through John 3:16 and 17. Let's pray. Loving God, You sent Your Son, Jesus, to lead us in faith to everlasting life. Give us new birth by water and the Spirit, so that we may enter Your eternal realm. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.